I'm Nathan Pruitt. I'm the outreach pastor here at Central Church. We're in a series right now called The Invitation. This is week three of this new series. And it's a series that looks at the invitation that Jesus extends to the disciples and also to us today. And today's invitation is a little awkward. Today's invitation is kind of a sensitive subject. There's some shame and some guilt maybe around this invitation. So I thought to make it more comfortable for everyone that I'd just invite you into my living room. So will you join me today? And yes, my living room does have seating for 1,000. That's convenient, right? It's so good to have you here. Today's invitation is an invitation to evangelism. It's one of those things that we all know that we probably should be doing, right? That we, you know, it's like the mission of this church is a part of it. And yet we often don't do it as often as we should. We feel a lot of guilt and anxiety around it. We maybe feel inadequate to the task. Like, I didn't go to seminary. How could I do that? And sometimes we even feel defeated. So I want us to just chat about it a while today as friends. So since you're in my living room, I can be honest about this. Just don't tell my boss. I'm not very good at evangelism. And I'm like the outreach pastor. It's like literally what you pay me for. And it's not a spiritual gift that I have. And it's something that all the things that you feel about it, I feel about it too. You see, I moved here to South Dakota for this job. And the only people that moved with me in my relational world were my two kids and my wife. Everyone else that I know, all of my family and friends, they're back in Texas. And so I move here for this job, which is at a church. And this church is filled mostly with people who love Jesus or at least interested about him. And so as I made friends with people on staff or some of you that attend here or joined a life group, everybody that I know is already a believer. And so it's really hard for me to figure out rhythms in my life so that I can come in contact with people who are far from God, so that I can maybe have an opportunity someday to care for them well, share with them well, serve them well. And so I feel some guilt about that. Whenever I'm up here talking like, hey, you guys should be telling your relational world about Jesus. And I'm like looking at my prayer card and I'm like, well, that's a believer. Well, I can, you know, it's hard sometimes. And then, you know, you think, well, you know, like I said earlier, you're like, I don't know all the right things to say. How am I going to be able to answer all the questions? You know, I'm not an apologist. And it's one of those things that just stuff builds up around it and we just end up not doing it a lot of times. And that's a shame because it has eternal consequences. I mentioned the mission statement. Who here knows the mission statement of Central Church? Anybody shout it out? What is it? Central Church exists. Okay, these two people on the front and the rest of you are all fired. Like, it's on a wall out there. You see it every time you walk out the doors. Central Church exists to help you share the love of Jesus with your relational world. After 140 years, we refined our mission down to this. Central Church exists to help you share the love of Jesus with your relational world. It's what we want to do. And yet, often a lot of us struggle with it. I've got a friend who I'm just amazed at. Every time I go out to eat with this friend of mine, whenever the food comes out, when the waiter or waitress brings our food, this friend of mine says, hey, we're about to pray for this food. Is there anything we can be praying for you for? And sometimes it's really awkward and I cringe because I'm socially awkward and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to spit in our food or this or that. But it's totally a sweet and simple question, right? Like, how could we be praying for you? And oftentimes though, it's not awkward and the person shares something and we're able to have a moment right there, a moment where we bring God into their day. Now, I will say, if you're going to do something like that, make sure you tip well, because it kind of has a negative effect if you don't. But yeah, it's little stuff like that sometimes, right? Like, if I could just be 5% more intentional with what I'm up to, I might be able to have a big spiritual impact. You know, often the reason that we don't share the love of Jesus with our relational world is because we don't practice sharing it. You know, having spiritual conversations is one of those things that might feel awkward if, like, the first time you ever try to do it is with somebody who's never heard of God before. And so I'm going to give you the opportunity this morning. That's right. It's an opportunity to have some spiritual conversations. Here in the living room, we're going to turn to the people we're sitting by, and we're going to chat a little bit about what God is up to in our lives. And I'll say, if you can't have a spiritual conversation in this space with people who believe the same as you, who are on the same mission as you, you're going to really struggle to do it out there. And so I've got a couple questions for us that I want you to gather up and discuss. The questions are, on a scale of 1 to 10, how invested are you in the mission of Central Church, and why did you choose that number, and how have you felt equipped to live out the mission? This is a judgment-free zone in my living room, so share accordingly. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll stay up here. All right. Bring it back on. So, it's my hope that as we chat today, and as we examine the invitation that Jesus has extended to his disciples and also to us in Mark chapter 1, it's my hope that some of the fear and anxiety, some of the heaviness around this subject, maybe we can set it down. So let's look at Jesus' invitation in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. That's Jesus' invitation to the disciples that day on the Sea of Galilee, and his invitation to us today. And in that invitation is actually the number one key to effective evangelism. You don't have to read a giant book on the subject. You don't have to go to seminary. You need to listen to the invitation that Jesus extends to us today. And so the question is, when it comes to evangelism, what is our main role? And it's right there in verse 17. Our main role is to follow Jesus. That's it. It's not to learn a bunch of tips and tricks. It's not to try harder. It's to follow Jesus. Which, you know, evangelism sounds like this scary thing that some of us may or may not be sure if we really want to do, but I hope that all of us can get excited about following Jesus, right? Come, follow me. Maybe we could all do that. I think we could. So let's unpack a little bit what followership looks like this morning. First and foremost, followership is an invitation to a journey. Jesus says, "Come, follow me." And the guys drop their nets and they follow him. They leave behind their old way of doing things, their old life, and they say, "Okay, Jesus, where are you going? Because I'm going with you." He invited them on a journey. And he invites us on that journey as well. Come, follow me. And the great thing about that journey is that journey is not meant to be done alone. It's not meant to be done in isolation. You see, Jesus that day, he calls two brothers and he walks a little bit longer along the shore and he calls two more brothers and he eventually ends up with these 12 guys. And these 12 guys end up following Jesus around for 3 years, going where he went, doing what he did, learning what he taught, all the things. Come, follow me. And they did it together. And they weren't always perfect at it, but they had each other. And it actually wasn't just the 12. When we read in scripture, sometimes there were as many as 500, 3,000, 4,000. These were large groups of people who took up the call to follow Jesus. They went on a journey. Jesus knows where we're going, and we can follow him, and we don't have to feel lost or confused or purposeless, because the God of the universe is walking one step in front of us, and we're following him. Followership is an invitation to a journey. It's also an invitation to intimacy. You see, as we journey, we grow closer. As we follow, as we spend time with Jesus, we fall more and more in love with him. And we also hopefully fall more and more in love with each other. You see, the Bible actually said, Jesus says in the book of John, he says, people will know you by your love. Christians, we are supposed to be known by the way that we care for each other. We have been invited into deep relationships where we do life together, where we bear it all. It's an invitation to intimacy. So there's a couple different ways here at Central that we want to equip you to follow Jesus well. One of those ways is life groups. Because we're not doing this, we're not called to do this alone. And we're called to be known by the way that we love and care for each other. And so to do that, you've got to have a group of people that you're saying, even though if it's hard sometimes to fit it in my schedule, even though maybe I don't feel like it on a Sunday afternoon, I'm going to life group. Because it's at life group that I'm able to open up with other people, to pray for others, to share my own burdens, to unpack what the preacher said, to study scripture together. We want you journeying together and growing closer together. And so we have life groups. We also have this thing called Forged, which is our men's ministry. It's guys coming together, shoulder to shoulder, doing life. We have Woven, our Woven women's ministry. It's women sitting around a table for a season, sharing with each other, caring for each other, being mentored by someone who's a little further along in the journey. Whatever it is that you're doing, we just want to say, don't do it in isolation. It's so easy at a big church to just walk in this place, experience something, and walk out. But that's not what good followership looks like. And then when you come into this place, we want to provide here on Sunday mornings an opportunity for you to grow in your intimacy as you follow Jesus. I don't know if you know this, but Paul and his worship team, they don't just pick songs because they're on the radio and they sound cool. Did y'all know that? They actually have a theology behind why they do what they do on a Sunday morning. They even have why they pick the songs in the order that they do, because they want to lead you to the throne of God so that you can have a moment with the creator of the universe, so that you can sing out your praises intimately to him. And so I met with Paul this last week, and we talked a little bit about, you know, why he does what he does in worship. Because I'm not a worship guy, right? Like, I just thought we came and sang songs, but it's more than that. There's some thought behind it. And the verse that drives their ministry is found in John chapter 4. So in John chapter 4, it says, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way." That word worship in that verse is proskuneo. It's a Greek word that kind of sounds like the word prostrate, right? Which is like to lay down before a king. That word, it means to abase yourself before God, to adore him. It even means to blow him kisses. Can you imagine? This is, instead of raising our hands next Sunday, Paul, have us do this. God, I love you. That's silly. But that's what we're here for, right? Is to fall more and more in love with the Savior who changed everything for us. And so as we follow him, as we fall more and more in love with him and intimacy, there's also this whole thing, ultimately what it is an invitation to a way of life. An invitation to a way of life. These early Christians, they would say about themselves, they didn't say they were Christians. They would say, I'm a follower of the way of Jesus. You see, Jesus had shown them a way to live differently, a way where you loved radically and served radically and sacrificed of yourself, a way of life where you gave of everything for the one thing that matters. And so they would say, I am a follower of that way. And in Antioch, what happened is, as they were following in the way of Jesus, non-Christians began to make fun of the followers of the way of Jesus. And what they did is, for the first time there, they called them Christians, which means little Christs. They said, look at those little Christs running around. And they meant it as an insult. And these followers of the way of Jesus, they were like, oh, I like that. Let's call ourselves that. Yes, we are little Christs. Because that's what it's all about. It's about taking everything that I am and seeing it transformed into who Christ is. It's about taking the sinful, broken mess that I've made of my life and surrendering it to God and saying, God, I need your forgiveness. I need your lordship. I need you to show me where to go. So, here's our next question. What's one area where you want to grow in your followership? Talk about it with your friends. All right. When you see your buddies next week at church, say, hey, how are you doing on that thing that you just mentioned? But do it kindly, because we care for each other. I want us to look back at our verse for today, back in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, one more time. Jesus called out to them, come follow me, right? And that's what it's really about, this followership. And I will show you how to fish for people. Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. We read a lot of Living Translation because it's an approachable version of the Bible, but it's not a word-for-word translation because sometimes word-for-word translations sound a little harsh to modern ears or can be confusing. But I think in this instance, it's important to look at a word-for-word translation of what Jesus is inviting us into here. And so, come follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. I will make you become fishers of men. I love that a lot because I am not great at evangelism. But guess what? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in someone else's life, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. My job is to follow Jesus, to journey with him, to grow in intimacy with him, to put on his way of life. And if I do that, Jesus promises, the God of the universe promises us that I will make you become fishers of men. You don't have to do it. You can set down that burden. It's not up to you. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This thing I'm calling you to, it shouldn't feel heavy. I do the heavy things. I do the soul saving. I do the universe changing. I create in you. You just follow me. So one of the main things that the Bible says that God creates in us is through the work of the Holy Spirit, these things called the fruits of the Spirit. And as I was thinking about this and studying this, you know, the fruits of the Spirit line up pretty well with what makes a good fisherman. A good fisherman is first and foremost patient. If you go out to fish and you wait 30 minutes and you haven't caught anything and you pack it up and go home, you're never going to catch fish, right? Like, that's not how it works. You have to be patient. Sometimes you sit all day and you still don't catch anything and you got to come back the next day or try a different spot. Fishermen are patient. Fishermen also need to be gentle. When you've waited forever and you finally get that nibble, you can't just yank the thing like that. You'll rip the hook out of the mouth. You'll kill the fish. You got to gently and firmly set the hook. What's the point of being patient if you're not going to be gentle? And ultimately, fishermen are some of the most joyful people I've ever met. Have you ever seen a kid when they catch a fish, they're like, ah! You know, and their parents, they put their picture on Facebook. Like, that's the whole point of fishing, I think, is to take a picture of the fish and put it on Facebook. But there's always such a huge sense of, like, joy when you did the thing. I waited forever. I planned. I spent a lot of money on this equipment, and I finally caught the fish. That's the way it goes with good fishers of fish, and that's the way it goes with good fishers of men. Got to be patient. This soul-changing stuff, sometimes it's slow and really incremental. There are people in my relational world that I've prayed for years, and I know that God is going to show up and do something, but it hasn't happened yet, and I got to be patient. And when I get the opportunities to share Christ or to talk about spiritual things with people in my relational world that are far from God, I need to be gentle about it. I'm not beating people over the head with this stuff. I'm not trying to be that super awkward caricature. I've got to be gentle with the way that I weave spiritual things into conversations with people I care about. And I know someday, when God gets a hold of them and their eternal destiny changes, there is not a more joyful moment that you can imagine. It says that God throws a party in heaven, and for some of these people that I've been praying for years, I'm going to throw a party here on earth because it is the main thing. Jesus changes everything. And it is good news when he gets a hold of somebody's life. You know, Paul talks about this joyfulness in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, he says, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. Dusty talked about this a few months ago. He said that every tribe, nation, and tongue, like their data is showing them, they think that there will be at least one believer in every tribe, nation, and tongue within the year. Like, God is out there doing things. The good news is spreading around the world, and we have the opportunity to be a part of it as we follow Jesus. That good news is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your life from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. God changes lives. And when he changes lives, that's good news. And so guess what? If you're struggling with some kind of sin or addiction and God frees you from that, that's good news. That's a story that somebody in your relational world might be interested to hear. They might not be interested in hearing about God, but they might be interested in hearing about how you overcame your anxiety or how you were able to defeat your addiction or about how God has been helping you get control of your anger. People that care about you want to hear those stories. Do you give credit to God and for what he's up to in your life whenever you share about them? The good news changes everything. The fruits produced in us change everything. And so when your friends say, hey, what were you up to this weekend? You say, man, I went to an awesome worship service that had an okay pastor. Like, you got to share that stuff. You got to be intentional about that 5 or 10% and give God the credit where God is moving and working. And people are eventually going to get curious about if maybe God could do the same kind of things in their life too. As we follow Jesus, he transforms us and he makes us become fishers of men. He does that in us. And then it's our job just to share the story about what he's been up to, about the good work that he's done. Now, if that still sounds a little scary to some of you, we have a curriculum for that because we want to help you share the love of Jesus with your relational world. So we have this thing called Live Sent. And we've been doing it for several years now. We've redesigned it and I've edited it and changed some things. It's a 5-week curriculum where you sit around the table with other people, like the people in the room with you right now, and you just have some short spiritual conversations. And you just spend a little time thinking and writing about what God's been up to in your life, and then you share it with each other. so that as you practice it there, it begins to feel more and more natural to share it in other places. So we're going to be doing this in May on Thursday nights. I hope you can join us. If you want to sign up, you can go to centralsf.org/livesent. Because we want to help you share with the world what God has been up to in your life as you've been following him well. Got one more question for you guys to discuss together this morning. It's this one. Share with your neighbor about someone in your relational world that needs to hear the good news. And then I want you to pray for one person in the group to pray for the group, okay? Amen. Thank you guys for coming over and hanging out at my house for a little bit this morning. I hope that as we've seen the invitation to come and follow Jesus this morning, an invitation to be fishers of people, that we can lay down some of the burden and stigma and scariness around that and just focus on falling more in love with Jesus. And then telling people about this thing that's so important to us. We have something big to do. And it changes the world. Changes a life and then it changes a world. We say that when God chose you, he had someone else in mind. So I'm going to pray for you now. And I'm going to challenge you to go out there to follow well. And to see what God might do through you. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for the work that you're doing in me, God, the way that you're transforming me. God, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you don't give up on us, that you're working and moving. And even when we forget to follow, even when we go the opposite direction, you're patient and you wait on us and you call us back. God, I pray that we will be good followers. God, that we will support each other on the journey, that we will care for each other well, and that people will say of us, look at that little Christ go. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I've invited some other people over for 11:15. As you leave today, you see some guys with buckets. That's our benevolence offering. We do this once a month. Our benevolence ministry is just a way for us to care for each other well whenever someone's maybe struggling with bills or in other ways. And it's one of my favorite parts of the job. So go in peace. Thanks for coming over. And we have prayer. Dang it.